Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, it is good to be with you. We missed a week. That's on me. Hand up accountability right from the start. That one's on me.
I don't know if it's on you. Though,
well, yeah, honest. I mean, that's fair. I'm the one that made the call, though, you know, so everything's good. Just dealing with some family stuff, needing to prioritize some time and some needed conversations with some extended family that just needed to happen. And just had some people with some health issues and a whole bunch of stuff. And it just did not work schedule wise to record. And I'm still exhausted. It's been a long week and a half.
Yeah.
So obviously we can get more into that probably over on the podluck, but it's good to be with you. Good to be back in the studio. Jack, how are you, man? It's good to see you.
Yeah, doing well. Yeah, just going through the crazy weather that is the Pacific Northwest right now.
Yeah, yep.
Dumps like a couple inches of snow, then burns off within a day or two, which is nuts. So
yeah, no, I've got a brother right now living in Iowa, and the big thing for them right now is they're going through. So recording this, it's Tuesday. It's like 10 degrees there, and Saturday is scheduled to be 80. I don't understand. Go from 10 to 80 in the span of 4 days, right? That's what we got.
Yeah, it's wild.
Insane. But good to be with you, and good to be back. Tired though I might be, I think Jack is going to definitely take a lot more of the lead on this episode. But I mean, as always, we still have things to talk about. We've got fun things to watch. Jack, I've been able to compile a few of our favorite Instagrams, and we're going to get to that right now. This, ladies and gentlemen, is everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your Instagrams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams with your host, Josh Loftus and Jack Barry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams, and remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That is how it works these days, Jack. And very interesting videos that were sent to us this week. This one made its rounds, and I gotta show you today. Here's the thing. I'm not against illustrations and sermons, right? Yeah. I'm not against it. I think they can be very helpful at times, right? But there does come a point to where the illustration, I think, goes beyond the message that you're trying to convey. and begins to not solidify what you are trying to convey, but becomes just a message in and of itself. And I think that that's kind of what we have right here with what I have coined as the cannonball preacher.
The idea is that rather than just sticking our toes in the swimming pool of life, that we tuck our knees.
Dude, even the congregation's going, what?
Jeez. So, I mean, points for
getting to that points, red hot chili.
I was going to say points for song usage. For those that are listening to this and not watching this, what you have here is a church. I believe one of the guys here is wearing robes, so there got to be some sort of
Episcopalian
or something like that. And there's a ladder, a very rickety old ladder, and the only thing older than the ladder is the guy that's standing on it. This guy's got to be in his 70s.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And he has a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle t-shirt on. He's in swim trunks and socks. And he has what looks to be,
is it
you
a
know
pillow
those,
wrapped around
you know
him?
Those, well, no, you know those pillows they give to people that, what do they call them? They're like the medical pillows. You know, I forget the name of them, but it looks as if he has scotch taped two to three pillows to his backside, and he's climbing to the top of the ladder, and at the bottom of the ladder in front of him looks like two kiddie pools, one shoved inside the other, and they are filled with water. And his illustration is sometimes you have to tuck your knees and what did he say? It's tuck your knees and we do a cannonball. I'm just going to play it one more time.
Life.
The idea is that rather than just sticking our toes in the swimming pool of life, that we tuck our knees.
Oh, no. Feel like WWE.
I love that
watch out.
You hear the lady. Yeah, I know.
Oh, no.
It's John Cena. You hear the lady recording. No, don't do it. No, don't do it. No. Like, you hear everyone, like, you know, Pastor Greg, what are you about to do?
And we do a cannonball.
Oh, dude, that could have ended so badly. And he just jumps in. He does a full cannonball from the top rope, right? Pastor Greg from the top rope right into the swimming pool of life. I don't understand really what the pillows are doing, but Jack... not an illustration that I'm going to attempt here anytime soon. For sure. Okay, I got one more. This one, I just found this one funny. I just think the entire premise of this guy's shtick on Instagram, I find hilarious, and it's like it's my kind of humor. Okay, you'll understand that when you see it here.
There you go. Anyway, today's scripture comes out of Psalm chapter 119 and 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Follow me for more scriptures like this, and I'll see you on the next one.
Okay, so...
Oh, my gosh.
I love this premise. So what we have here is a video of some lady doing, looks like, BMX. And it's like one of the, looks like an obstacle course race. And she comes to this point where there's some 4x4s or across the way. She's got to lift the bike up and go over it and then get on the bike and keep running. She does not make it over the boards and she falls flat on her face and the bike falls right on top of her. And this guy, he reacts to it, and he just goes, well, anyways.
Anyway, today's scripture comes out of Psalms.
Today's scripture. Dude, I don't know who this guy is, but it is at Dylan Marvich. Dude, keep rocking, brother. It is so funny. That's my kind of humor. That's awesome. I love it. Well, Jack, my man, we're going to get into some talking about other people getting hurt. in different ways, right?
Yeah.
Right. The potential of pain in these videos is meant to segue into our topic, right? It's very intentional. Talking about how we should be responding to individuals that are claiming that hurt in the church has resulted in them causing, deconstruction, walking away, right? The reality is when you're dealing with the local church, you're dealing with sinners. And you're never going to have a local church that is free of pain, free of frustration, or free of sin, right? We're not sinless perfectionists, and we believe that we tarry and we toil against the flesh while we are still here on earth until Christ comes back or takes us home. So the reality of that is that there's always going to be a certain amount of pain and sin that must be dealt with within the local church. And we don't run from that reality. We don't try to sugarcoat that reality. We understand that that reality is prevalent and is real and has real life consequences. And we also realize that with the potential that the local church has to be such a light and a source of healing and encouragement toward the weary soul, it has just as much of a potential to be a damage and a detriment to the souls of people if sin is left unconfronted and undealt with, right? And this was a topic that you brought to me, it was a couple weeks ago at this point, kind of centering around this quote that's from A.W. Tozer that some individuals are utilizing, I would say incorrectly, to try to justify perhaps a disposition toward individuals that have been hurt by the church. So, Jack, I'm going to throw this over to you, man, and why don't you take this wheel and drive us where we're going.
Yeah, I would say it was a couple days ago, more than a couple weeks ago. But
I'm tired. I can't remember.
Yeah, exactly.
I've handed all the podcast stuff off to Jack with everything I've been dealing with. Just dude, give us a topic and I'll show up and talk about it, I promise.
No, the quote, yeah. So the quote that I saw is this quote. Somebody posted it actually on Facebook and just said this, and I think left it alone or something like that. The quote is by A.W. Tozer. He says, "If being hurt by the church causes you to lose faith in God, then your faith was in people, not God."
Mm,
okay. So immediately when I saw that, I could say, ooh, that could be used for bad news. That could be used for, Josh and I talked about, the weaponization of that quote can be used pretty hardcore. And I think that I've seen it a lot. Mainly within my past church. I have seen it a lot with other churches as well too. I've seen it to where it's been utilized in a way that if you leave our church, in some ways you are becoming an apostate, which is not 100% true. So I felt like if I'm using this as a sermon, okay, mm-hmm. first of all, how's this quote land? Mm-hmm. Where do we need more, I guess, more definition on it? Mm-hmm. And where is this quote kind of taking us? So I think, Josh, to you, I'd ask the question, where does that quote land with you when you hear that?
Yeah, no, exactly. I think, so if we're just isolating the quote itself, right? Apart from anybody trying to use the quote or whatever, right? The theology of the quote is true, and I agree with Tozer. So if we're going to like just look at the quote itself, what he is saying is true, and what I mean by that is that I think there is, because you know, look, we've been the whole deconstruction movement, right? Really found its kind of peak during like COVID, right? And like it was really kind of a huge thing that the church was dealing with during those times. And I will say where I believe the quote is correct and where I think the heart of the quote is,
with Mr. Tozer, is that I think a lot of people incorrectly viewed the faithfulness of Christ and the truth of the gospel through the actions of those that claimed to follow him. And I think we have to be very clear and concise that we are fallen creatures. We are finite and we are stained with sin. Though we profess that Christ frees us from sin, we know that we still deal with it, right? So I think that some people are jumping and utilizing the fact that they have been sinned against or hurt in the church and making the jump that, well, then that must just mean that everything these people say and do follows suit, that it's wrong, right? And I will say this, although there's a lot of reasons why individuals would come to that point and a lot of things that need to be addressed, it's intellectually dishonest to utilize that argumentation. Because if we were going to use that argumentation with these individuals that deconstructed and we were going to go through their life, well, you're going to find a lot of very similar things that rightly by your own actions and your own, I think, barometer have to be called into question, right? So I have seen a lot of individuals utilize church hurt and things that were done to them, things that were said to them, as an excuse to do what they wanted to do anyway, and that is to not be held accountable to the Word of God.
Okay.
Now, that's one side, right?
Yeah.
You have the other side where, I think we have to be careful not to pendulum swing, because I know there's a lot of guys that see that, see what I'm seeing, and have dealt with that. And I think go too far in the other direction, Jack, and they say, okay, well then anything that even smells like deconstruction or church hurt, I'm just going to disregard as these people being dishonest, these people just wanting to be their own authority, their own gods. And although that is true in some cases, right, we have to be diligent biblically and look at each case, you know, in and of itself, right? And I think it has resulted in a lot of things within the church being overlooked that shouldn't be overlooked, a lot of sin patterns being swept under the rug that shouldn't be swept under the rug because, oh, these people said that they were hurt in church and they deconstructed. It's like, okay, well, yeah, they shouldn't, like, deconstruction should not be the response to that, but that does not mean that there isn't actually something wrong here that needs to be addressed biblically, right? So, that's what I would say is I think it's both. Like, I think the quote in of itself is correct in its theology, but I think people are utilizing that in a lot of cases to not have to address, you know, maybe your church just the polity is like unhealthy. Maybe the way that you go about counseling people is unhealthy. Maybe your understanding of law and gospel is skewed and unbiblical, and you are preaching more law than you are gospel. Right? There's so many factors that need to be looked into, and we have to be diligent and good churchmen and not just blanket sweeping, you know, across everything that smells like deconstruction. Like, show me what happened. And yeah, I'll make the judgment case, obviously, when I hold that up to the lens of scripture.
Yeah, this is where I kind of move into point two. I wish there was more definition that he put onto this, and maybe he can't see in the future for us, to be quite honest. So I don't think A.W. Tozer could have saw into the future of 2020 and saw what was happening,
right,
and put a little bit more meat on that bone, so to say. But I think the definition that needs to come into play here is, if you are being hurt by the church, and I think that key word there is church, if you're being hurt by leaders, and if you're being hurt and by a way in which the leadership is enabling the congregation to go after you, there's a lot of gray that I feel like this quote doesn't get into a certain way.
Yeah.
Now, I think that I think that in our culture, we do have this way in which, and it depends upon what you mean by hurt too. Because I've seen this from multiple different, I've seen this from multiple different fronts, right? If you think being hurt by the church means another person has sinned against you, okay, that's partially a definition of that. I feel like going a little bit more forward in saying hurt by the church means like your leaders were making really bad decisions. And those bad decisions came down on you and basically made a way in which you had to make a, either you were being sinned against and they weren't acknowledging that, or you were basically, hey, that decision that you made against that person was not in line biblically and you need to repent of that, guys. And they didn't do that, or they didn't say, and they omitted a lot of the sin that they did or a lot of the decisions that they made that were not biblical in that. And so I think we need to kind of put more definition on it in that way. So for instance, I'll give it a little bit more specifics into my situation. We had a situation in my previous church in which our pastor was not being forthright in a lot of things. And half of the elders said, hey, we don't feel like you are holding up to being a biblically qualified elder as the lead pastor. And in that situation, there was a vote. Do we keep him on as a lead pastor or we do we not? And the vote was basically split 50-50, but one pastor went over to the other side and said, no, it does not disqualify him. And that was a... it felt like that was a repudiation against a lot of decisions that they were making at that time. And a lot of people felt at that point of like, that's kind of the icing on the cake.
Sure.
As far as, okay, that validates a lot of stuff. Now, a lot of people stayed around and then ended up leaving because of certain situations that started to trickle down a little bit more. But I felt like for me, there was a lot of hurt that went into even before that to where my role was terminated and I was being forced out of a position within the church on staff and people weren't being forthright about what was going on. I, at that time, was being a little bit more integral and kind of following along with this because I didn't really know how to deal with it. And so I really just kind of stayed at the church versus leaving. But also the messaging towards me as well, too, was that of Mars Hill, which is if you leave this church, there is nobody like us.
Yeah.
We are the varsity Christians of the church. And if you leave, you basically should be considered an apostate. So I could see it from the dynamic of that perspective. What I question is the dynamic in which a member willfully sins in a way that is really kind of heinous, or maybe just is starting to go on this deconstruction route and just says, I'm not a Christian anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Like, first of all, how did that happen? And were the leaders involved? Were people of the church involved? There needs to be more definition. So,
yeah,
I wish in some sense that A.W. Tozier had a little bit more meat on that bone for his quote and could see, but he can't. But I do agree in that sense of that there is not what should not make you lose faith is the actions of people.
Right.
The actions of people in the church. If you have a good anthropology of man, you know that man is sinful.
Right.
And man will continue to make sinful decisions. And unfortunately, that seeps into the church a lot of times.
Right.
And so if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and that you believe in the triune God of Scripture and that he is ultimately leading you and guiding you and tarrying with you, then your faith will not be lost because you left that church because of sinful decisions made by man and go to another church. So I think he's right on that track, right? Now, if your complete faith is wrapped up in an individual
right.
and the pastor's word is God's word, there is a lot of stuff that you need to peel back
100%
and say, whoa.
Yeah.
And which I would say it is a good thing to basically say, whoa, why am I being basically accosted and saying that I'm an apostate for leaving a church that I felt like those decisions that I made were right in calling out the leaders, but they're right. calling me something else.
Yeah.
That's where I think you have not lost faith. You're actually being biblical and wanting transparency and accountability for your church right. leaders in that sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where I talk about definition and why we need more definitions to this quote than what it leads on to a certain sense. Because yeah, this quote could be used by, obviously this quote's used by the prosperity gospel in saying like, well, like that was your fault and right. you know, stuff like that. And you didn't trust the anointed man of God and all yeah. this stuff. Or it could be weaponized in a way of, you know, saying, well, they weren't really, and weaponize the scripture too. Well, they weren't really one of us because they left. It's like, well, we don't really know the whole situation to that unless we actually be transparent in our congregation and peel that back more.
Yeah.
And do more business with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, I don't know if you have any response to.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean,
on the bone there.
I mean, it's, you know, the word of God provides clarity. That's what it does. Right. And I have some frustrations with the term church hurt these days, because it's kind of gotten the same treatment that the term trauma has gotten in the counseling sphere, right? Where everything is trauma. I have trauma from this. I have trauma from that. Everything is trauma. When everything is trauma, nothing's trauma, right? And that's what's happened with the term church hurt. Right. Is, oh, so-and-so said something mean to me. So-and-so, you know, treated me this way. I have church hurt. Right. Or, you know, someone, you know, heaven forbid, someone called me to repent from sleeping with my girlfriend. I have church hurt. Right. And that's where those definitions, like you're saying, have to come into play. Like when we're talking about church hurt, when we're talking about trauma, what are we talking about? Because there has to be some sort of line. Right. Me calling you to repent does not give you church hurt. It hurt your flesh, but it is not the church hurting you, right? I don't think that the everyday sins that people commit to one another within the church is just categorized as church hurt. Now it's wrong, right? It's sinful. It's something that needs to be repented of, and the gospel needs to be applied to that. But you can't be so sensitive. And I would say, Jack, And you know, this is me saying this. This is just coming from a pastoral. You can't be so sensitive and so self-focused that a sinful word sends you into a spiral, right? At a certain point, right? Like, where is your foundation, right? Yeah. Where is your hope, right? If it tells me a lot when a simple word or a slight sends someone into a spiral. And that tells me about the fragility of just their spiritual existence. Again, doesn't excuse the sin at all. It needs to be addressed, but we have to have some definitions, like you're saying, like we have to be clear in what we're talking about, because if everything's church hurt, nothing is, right? So I think that's part of my frustration with this discussion, not the discussion we're having, just the overarching discussion, is that it seems like the standard has gotten so low as what constitutes trauma or what constitutes church hurt, that individuals like that you and I have talked to, instances that you and I have experienced that are honestly actually traumatic, like spiritual abuse has happened.
Yeah,
that gets lumped into the same group as, you know, Sally, you know, did this and this to me. She said this. It was kind of snarky, and I have church hurt. It's like, yeah, you know, like it wasn't right for her to do that, but
that's not what we're talking about.
That's not what we're talking about, right? Exactly. Yeah, like exactly. That's not on the scene. It's like the guy who, I'll get in trouble for this, but it's like the veteran who saw like no combat complaining about some of the things he went through in the service to a veteran who lost both his legs, right? It's going to be like, you know, I get it. Like there are some things where it's relative depending to the individual, but all things being equal, my friend, I don't think you experience the same thing that this guy. You know what I'm saying? Like it's it starts to take on that reality. And that's where, like, in that aspect of the quote, I agree. But again, we cannot use that as an excuse to not utilize the scriptures to look through, find sin patterns, address them with the word, root them out, right? So that there can be health in our churches and there can be actual a progress made with the community in our church, right? If you are seeing this pattern of individuals being hurt by leaders, yeah, guess what? You should probably look at that, right? Yeah. If you have I mean, just in your situation, if you have half the church not having confidence in this guy as a pastor, you should probably look at that, right? And that's where we have to not abandon our theology and that, yeah, no, ultimately, if this person lost their faith in Christ, like ultimately, yes, we are responsible for our actions, but that doesn't give us credence just to be like, well, that's completely on them. Let's continue to move on like we've been moving on. You know, no, maybe there were some contributing factors there that, again, doesn't mean you're responsible for their quote unquote deconstruction, but you were definitely a tool that Satan used to bring it about. Right.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be content with that. Right. We need to let the word of God do what the word of God does. But yeah, no, I agree, man. Definitions matter when we're talking about things like church hurt and things like trauma. We got to be clear about what we're talking about. Right. And it gives us the ability to, I think, minister to those that have actually gone through some really hard things. It's hard to do that when, you know, everybody is claiming church hurt from things that are just, yeah, I'd just say don't fall under that barometer.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you say, where should we kind of go from here as far as that quote goes?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, again, don't abandon your theology, right? God is sovereign over salvation, but we are responsible for how we act as Christians. And I think you got to hold both. It's like, yeah, we do trust in the Lord to preserve and to hold those that are His, right? We don't abandon that truth, but we also realize that God utilizes means to do that. And we are the means that He has sovereignly ordained to bring people into the kingdom. And, you know, like scripture is very clear, right? Like we are known, the world shall know us by our love for one another, right? We have so many exhortations in scripture regarding how we should interact with one another as brothers and sisters. And we can't abandon that. We can't abandon it. And we have to be holding the truth of scripture as our authority, as our practice. And when we do that, things get a lot simpler. Sin is called out quickly and restoration happens. And that's what the local church should be about.
Yeah,
sounds like Theo's ready to rock, dude. He knew the podluck was coming up, and he's like, "My time has come. My time has come."
Yeah, I would say too. Like, just I think qualifying church hurt. I think you're right on that. Like, we need to define it a little bit better. If it's you asking questions and maybe the leader's not responding very well, I don't say that's church hurt, but I would say that's not them leading very well.
Yeah, right.
I think there's a huge difference between covering up the fact that an elder is voted as not biblically qualified and sweeping that under the rug versus Sally's gossiping about somebody else, you know,
right.
those are not equivalent. I mean,
to be fair, both wrong, right? But you know, the levels of
there's levels of that. That's different. So, well, yeah. Any final thoughts?
I don't think so, man. I think that was a great topic. Thank you for taking the lead on this one. And let's wrap up and go talk to some of our patrons. It's been a week. They've waited patiently. We owe them some episodes. Yeah. So,
well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempts at making the local church central to the believer's life, you can follow us on the sociables, if you will. Yes, those dastardly little things that help us connect and help us generate episode ideas, You can leave a direct message, a comment, a question. Like I said, you can talk to us more about this episode and any of those platforms being the Facebook, the Metaverse, if you will. The Instagram goes well with chocolate marshmallow. Maybe sprinkle a little heresy on top of that. And then the always interesting sociable, formerly known as Twitter X. You can find us on those sociable platforms at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us further in our endeavors.
That's right. Well, if you want to support the Reformatory, there's multiple ways you can do that. You can head on over to YouTube. You can watch this as well as listen to it. It does make those Instagrams a whole lot sweeter. You can rate this podcast, review this podcast, share this podcast with a friend. That's really cool when we hear people sharing episodes around. Gets more people involved with the podcast and more people encouraged to make the local church central in their life. Last but not least, we do have a Patreon for $5 a month. You can head on over there. You get multiple bonus episodes every week. You get this episode early. A lot of exclusive content happening over on the Patreon. It's a lot of fun. And if you choose to do so, that our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We're going to head on over there right now and talk about a little Paul Washer clip that went viral over our week off. So I'm going to wrestle some gummy worms, as Jack would say, over on the Patreon. But you got to head on over there to hear that. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.